Yaki Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
And good morning. You're listening to Common Sense on News Talk 103.3. Paul Hofgarten here with Mark Hebert and Charles Bradley. And sad to say, this will be our last broadcast. As you may or may not know, the station is changing hands. I believe it's effective tomorrow. And it's kind of a sad day. I've been doing, I'm going to talk for myself for a moment here. I've been coming into this studio and the previous one over at 277 where the church is since 2006. That was the first time Neil Young and the Advocates, of course, the precursor to this program in many ways, he invited me on. I was on a charter commission. He was talking about charter commissions and I think tax caps back then as well. And so I have been here most weeks for 16 and a half years, and it's going to be feel very strange not coming in anymore on Saturday mornings to do the show. I've enjoyed it immensely, and it's a melancholy day, but, you know, business is business, and I totally understand that, and I wish Gary the very best in whatever, wherever the future takes him as well.
It's been an interesting ride. It's going to make Saturday mornings a little more empty, but we'll move on, find another road to hoe. I want to take a minute and say thank you to Neil, wherever you are, Neil. he's kind of the mentor, the northern star that we followed. Not only was he conservative, but he was also very, very articulate and willing to listen, if a little intolerant of nonsensical positions. So, thank you very much, Neil. Charles?
Let me second that, Mark. I thoroughly enjoyed being on the radio with Neil, with Paul. And I want to thank you two guys for having me, especially today. It is a sad day, and we have to find another way to get the message across, because I it's not time to give up. It's time to get going, and that's what we need to do. So thank you, Neil. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Paul. And thank you, Gary.
Absolutely. Listen, our phone number, by the way, is 603-524-6288. I know there's some folks out there listening. If you want to chime in about your experiences listening to both Common Sense and prior to that, The Advocates, you're welcome to do so. We will get into some issues today, but it is going to be a little different today, I guess, being our final show before the moose is let loose.
By the way, I want to throw in a thank you to Betty Young, because I think she kept me on when Neil got mad at me.
The moderator. I love it. All right. Well, gentlemen, I'm going to move forward, and I want to talk about the Biden classified materials scandal. The Wall Street Journal had a report this week. They were talking about the Department of Justice having thought about sending FBI agents to work alongside of Joe Biden's attorneys as they look for more classified information. Now, stop and think about that just a little bit. That information has been held unlawfully in Mr. Biden's garage, his personal office, the library, the attic, or wherever else they're going to go looking.
The Corvette, Mark.
The Corvette, yeah. I'm sure it's in the trunk of the Corvette,
too. Does that
too.
Mean Jay Leno might have some documents?
I think we should go arrest Jay Leno.
Yeah.
So the classified material has been found in an unattended, unsecured location, actually locations at this point. And the searchers are out looking for more. But the DOJ did not do that. They did not go with Biden's attorneys. Instead of having the FBI agents go to the crime scene, and that is what it is, a crime scene, and having the FBI agents working with and beside Mr. Biden's attorneys, the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, decided to simply trust Biden's attorneys. His rationale is he believes they will report everything they find and they will disclose completely and honestly. Really. For whatever reason, it does not matter that Merrick Garland and Mr. Biden's to Merrick Garland that Mr. Biden's attorneys are paid by Joe Biden personally to protect his interests. That's what attorneys do. Why would that ever cross Merrick Garland's mind?
Well, he was a judge for too long. He forgets what happens in private practice.
By the way, just as an aside, for all the bad stuff he's gone, thank you, Mitch McConnell, for holding off, for keeping us from having to suffer the consequences of a Supreme Court Justice Merrick Garland.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's a different discussion.
Ketanji
Brown
but...
Jackson may be worse because I think she might be a little smarter. Anyways.
She doesn't know what a woman is. I don't know how smart she could be.
Hey, it's a relative scale.
Yeah.
We're grading on the curve.
A steep curve, apparently.
Yeah. So why is Mr. Garland doing this? According to the Wall Street Journal, he decided if FBI agents were there, it might complicate the efforts of the special counsel. Now, I don't understand the logic there, and it does not make sense to me. It just seems complete madness. So let's think about it this way. Imagine you work for the CIA, okay? You have more than 20 classified documents sitting at your house. You go in and you tell the CIA, hey, guess what? I got 20 documents at the house. They're all classified. Is that a problem? There could be more. I'm not sure. Not to worry. My attorneys and I are going to go back and take a look. We'll keep you posted. What do you think's going to happen to me? What would happen to you?
That's what happened to Donald Trump. That they invaded his house in Mar-a-Lago. I mean, that's what they did to him. And he had a right to have them.
And it would declassified. But that's a different discussion. Actually, Bill Riley had the gall to say that Joe Biden had the right to declassify these documents. Actually, no, Bill. That's wrong. The reason it's wrong is this. The Obama administration, during the Obama administration, Obama wrote an executive order that said the president and the vice president have the right to classify information. The president can declassify whatever he wants. The vice president has the right to declassify those things that the vice president classified in the first place. All of the documents that have been turned over weren't written by Joe Biden. They weren't classified by Joe Biden. They're national property. They have to go through the regular process. So, Bill, you're wrong. What would the CIA do if they knew they had an employee with top-secret intel floating around their house and unattended and unsecured? Here's what I think they should do. This is what I expect they do. First, they take the badge of the person that had the material. Then they'd revoke clearance. Then they'd probably fire that person. Then the FBI would show up at the house. The FBI team would raid the house. An arrest would be expected, maybe not certain, but depending upon what they find, they probably would take you out in handcuffs, at least until they had a chance to make sure what the damage assessment was. The question is, why isn't Merrick Garland doing any of that? Why? When a person does what Merrick Garland does, when a person does what Joe Biden has done, they're either an idiot or they're spying for the Chinese, the Russians, the Ukrainians, Iran, Israel, somebody, some foreign actor. What other reason is there for handling classified material in this manner? Now, the home would be a crime scene, and while they figure out whether I'm an idiot or a spy, so instead the Department of Justice is telling Biden's attorneys they can just handle the whole thing. Just keep us posted. You guys are doing a great job. And to be completely, you're being completely honest with us, I'm sure. That's what's happening right now. Joe Biden's personal attorneys are at the crime scene, and they're deciding what's evidence and what's not without oversight. Or maybe they're destroying evidence. Do you know? I don't. Whatever classified material these attorneys are reading, they aren't cleared to read it. They have no need to know. So even with a clearance, they aren't allowed access to this material. So why are they there again? This fiasco is a security violation piled on a security violation piled on a security violation. And the DOJ and the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, know this.
Well, I think you make a great point, because in the case of Trump, they actually made the attorneys stand outside of the facility when they were in there grabbing stuff for photo shoots.
How can you possibly ever bring a case when you didn't even do the investigation? There's no chain of custody.
Nope.
I don't know.
But the fact that they treated the attorneys for the two gentlemen, you know, couldn't be more 180 degrees different, you know?
Absolutely.
Stand away. Oh, have at it. Depend, you know, is your boss a D? Yeah, go for it. Is your boss an R? Go away.
Do as I say, not as I...
That is part of the three-legged stool on which the Democrats sit.
Well, sometimes it feels like a two-legged
stool. And the ends justify the means, another one of their fine legs.
So we've got folks at the FBI and the Department of Justice paid to know and to act appropriately and to protect our interests, and they're just letting this happen. So the question is, why?
And we're going to answer that question right after we take a break.
Being an Army Ranger is a very fast-paced lifestyle. I was clearing a weapons cache in Haditha, Iraq, when the building collapsed on me, burying me alive. I spent 6 months in the hospital and a year of recovery. When I was separated from the military, I just felt like I was useless, because I only had this one thing that I was supposed to do, and then that one thing was taken away from me. And then one day, I got a call from Wounded Warrior Project. They asked me to come to a workout, and I decided that I was gonna get better, both physically and mentally. Now I'm a warrior leader. I create events and opportunities for other veterans locally. Wounded Warrior Project did a phenomenal job reminding me that my injuries aren't going to define who I am. And because of that, I can do anything that I want.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
Possibilities are all around us. Everywhere we look, we see opportunity in unexpected places. And when we share our knowledge, vision, and connections, we turn great ideas into action in communities all around the world that we call home. like transforming an old bus, to feed hungry children, or providing life-saving equipment to those who need it most. From fighting disease to rebuilding schools, together, we can make real change happen. We're Rotary. We are people of action. Get involved today at rotary.org/action.
We're back on Common Sense, the final program here on News Talk 103.3. And if you want to join in, please feel free, 603-524-6288. And we will continue our conversation about documents. I got a few classified documents right under the table.
Don't even say that. Don't even think it. We'll be raided before we get out of here. All right. So the why is that the DOJ is led by an attorney general who is supported by and preferred by Democrats. We all know that. He was chosen by the Democrats and is now covering for his party. This is true not only because Obama picked him to be on the Supreme Court years ago, but also because look at the facts of the incidents, and none of it's normal. None of it follows what you would consider expected protocol. Neither you nor I would be treated the way Joe Biden is being treated. It's illogical. It's unlawful. It's unconstitutional. What we are watching is something pretty dark. We are looking at the collapse of law and order in the United States. This is a blatant demonstration that there is one set of laws for the ruling class and another set for you and me. Why does that matter? Well, first, it endangers national security. Who knows how many platforms this mishandled information has compromised? Second, nations rise and fall based on law and order. From laws equally enforced, we get order. From that, people build homes, make lives, build factories, hospitals, museums, economies, cultures, societies, and create strong nations. This is why America is exceptional. We have the Constitution and one set of laws which flows from it. We are all equal under them, all of us. This is why millions of people try to come here every year, legally and illegally. They are fleeing from nations which lack law and order and don't have economies which flow from that law and order. What we are watching Biden, the Department of Justice, and the FBI do is putting all of America at risk. They are creating one set of rules for Biden and the elites and another for you and me. That has to stop. What happens next is that the Republicans get into office and they get a pound of flesh. They want revenge. They do the same thing or worse, and because they can. Then it becomes a political blood feud. This is a spiral that we've got to stop. We must pull out of it. What's coming is all of those mid and lower level FBI and DOJ officials are going to take away from this that they can now target whoever they like because they can get away with it. After all, the boss did. Sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander, right? This is exactly what the DOJ Inspector General himself warned about when FBI Director Comey, remember him, leaked classified information about Trump. Countries collapse and end up in tyranny or anarchy because of the loss of law and order. So what should we do? Well, we need to be honest. It's happening. We have to talk about it. We have to debate it. The Department of Justice has to be investigated. If this gets out of hand, nothing else matters. We're done. We have a vote. We have to vote for people who are dedicated to making it stop. If you don't like the candidates, then run yourself or find somebody else with your principles and values. The decision by the DOJ, assuming it's accurately portrayed by the Wall Street Journal, have now crossed the Rubicon. All of us are going to have to get involved in this to find ways to fix it. If we don't do this, the country as it was constituted is gone. Just my opinion.
I just want to point out that briefly, they haven't searched where most of the classified documents are. They haven't. I know exactly where they are. They're at the University of Delaware. And the FBI, nobody's gone down there. The Biden papers are all stored at the University of Delaware. Nobody's gone through them. The court said they couldn't do it. Why doesn't the FBI, of course we know why, hasn't the FBI been down at the University of Delaware going through those papers? I guarantee 99% that there are massive numbers of classified documents at the University of Delaware. And the second point is Bongino pointed out on his show for an hour how Biden is a foreign agent of the Chinese Communist Party. He's gotten that family has gotten $50 million from the Chinese government. And it's known. John Solomon and there's another guy who reports on it all the time. And then we have, we're tearing down the wall on the southern border while Joe Biden builds a wall at his Rehoboth home.
Why would that be? Why?
To keep the FBI out, I think.
Okay. So we have a call. So I am, hold on 1 second. Good morning, caller. How are you today?
Oh, not too bad. I want to thank you guys. I've been listening to you for a couple of years when I can on Saturday mornings.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
You guys do a good job.
Thank you.
And I've never been much into politics. I'm kind of like a hillbilly, but lately it seems as though both parties are like a couple of troops of monkeys in the woods throwing feces back and forth at each other. And I think the Democrats probably have a little bit more feces in them. And it's time it ends.
It's long past time for it to be minimized at the very least. I mean, everybody has a right to say whatever they want and to do those things that are legal, lawful. But we're at a point where we're starting to harm the nation. And we're getting away from the Judeo-Christian principles that the country was founded on.
Yes.
Well, I'm a little more optimistic than I think I'm hearing. The Spartans stood at the Battle of Thermopylae and fought. And just last week, or within the last 2 weeks, we had the 20 stand up to Kevin McCarthy. And I think we are already seeing some results from that, and I think we're going to keep seeing the results. And Jim Jordan and MTG and Matt Gaetz, although they have that conservative, I call it conservativitis disease, where they have to argue with each other in public for some reason, I think they're going to stand up, make McCarthy do the job right, and we're going to have some results here pretty soon.
I agree, but that part of that, I kind of like sometimes when I see the fighting, even though it hurts on some levels, the fact is it shows to me that the Republicans are the party of the individual where the Democrats are the party of the collective. And if you dare fall out of lockstep with what the Democrats say, you'll be trashed. And, you know, Sinema got trashed and now she's an independent. And I'm not really sure what the heck that means other than she'll finish third in the next Senate
hopefully.
Election.
that last thing with the Democratic Party, I heard that Maggie Haston had gone to the president with the Democratic Party trying to pull the primary away from New Hampshire. And he said that he would not. And I don't know if any of that is true, but I had a lot of respect for all of the time that she's been in office, up until the last few years when they were tearing down Trump, and she's one of the ones that just fell into line and not did anything on her morals and said, no, this is wrong, we need to stop this publicly.
Well, I mean, she does what her big sister Jean tells her to do, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
I think there might be some truth to that, because Joe Biden is a good friend of Steve McAuliffe. He appointed Steve McAuliffe to the federal bench, and I think they probably have Biden's ear about New Hampshire.
Yeah, all of them pulling that away from New Hampshire. It almost, because we're not diverse enough. We don't see color in this state.
Well, I mean, that's an excellent point, because that sort of is one of the big lies of the left, is they talk about, you know, diversity, equity, and I forget what the I
inclusion.
Stands. Inclusion. And, you know, all of it is to put everybody in little pods.
No, it's not. It's all racism. That's what it is. Well, DEI is racism. It's reverse racism, and it's nothing more than the tenets of CRT. That's what it is. Stop calling it something. You're putting lipstick on the pig.
Oh,
stop.
Am I? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's the ablative and dative. DEI is the ablative and dative of Deus, which is the word for God in Latin, interestingly enough. But I agree with you, Mark, except I see the big C behind the whole thing. Communism.
Well,
and
is.
That's where we're headed.
Yeah, it's part of the create chaos step in getting
Bingo.
There.
Yep.
So it's
we don't
go ahead.
We don't need those type of people in New Hampshire. They need to move back to the
People's Republic or the People's Commonwealth.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a refugee from there, so
careful.
I would never go back. Never ever. Well, thank you very much for calling in on our final show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take another break right now.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Dear VetTicks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, VetTicks.
Dear VetTicks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, VetTicks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTicks, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience, give the memory. VetTix, give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
We're back on Common Sense, Newstalk 103.3, phone number 603-524-6288. I only will get to say that maybe one more time after the third break. That'll be the end of that. You know, I'll call, somebody will call me on my phone. They go, 603-524-628. Oh, no, that's not my number. That's not my number. Hold on.
That's over. Mark, I'd just like to take a couple minutes. I put something together, and it kind of seconds your point. You know, people have to stand up. You have to, or our grandchildren are going to be communist serfs. My message is simple. We are at war. The war is on three fronts in no particular order. Number one, the CCP, China, Iran, and Russia are coalescing to overthrow the United States government. Number two, the perversion of the education of our children, transgenderism. Three, the demolition-crat and uniparty destruction of our domestic politics. More of us must admit this to ourselves and find ways to stand up. The first step is to reject the mainstream media and use news sources that are telling the truth, as hard as it may be to accept the truth. I recommend the Epoch Times, Rudy Giuliani's favorite newspaper. Go to epictimes.com on your internet. Two, turn off ABC, NBC, CBS, and MSNBC. Turn on Real America's Voice and listen to Steve Bannon's War Room. Three, find an issue, donate, and join an organization to fight for our rights. This week provided a marked contrast between good and evil. The March for Life celebrated the Dobbs decision. Tony Dungy led the charge to save our babies, and the House of Representatives passed a Born Alive bill, which nearly every demolitioncrat voted against. Where do you stand on the Born Alive bill, Charlie St. Clair, Pat, whatever your last name is? Where do you stand on the Born Alive bill?
I'd like to say Henry Cuellar was, I believe he was the only Democrat that voted with the Republicans, and one voted present, but I'll give Henry Cuellar his kudos on that one. At least there's one Democrat that supports life.
But just proving that they're not Democrats, they're demolitioncrats. That's what that vote proved to me. In contrast, the World Extermination Forum, WEF, oh, I guess it's known as the World Economic Forum, but I call it the World Extermination Forum. Thank you. I think Hannity said that. Attended by the superstars of international destruction, John Kerry, Tony Blair et al., preached, get a load of this, let them eat bugs and stop driving your car while we fly in our private jets. This is not a joke. It is war on us, and all of us need to stand up. Mark Hebert and Charles Bradley agree on that, and we have our differences every now and then. But when we agree on something, it must be right.
Healthy debate, Charles. It's just healthy debate. Let me give you an example of how this spins in D.C. today. The Prime Minister of the Netherlands was in Washington on Tuesday, and he met with Joe Biden at the White House. They discussed the Ukraine, among other things, and the Dutch have agreed to send the Ukraine $1 billion in Patriot missile systems. That's according to ANP, the Dutch news service. So the Dutch Patriot system will join another we gave the Ukraine already, and it'll take a couple of months before the Ukraine can actually take delivery of those missile systems and get to training up their troops and put them in place where they're going to be able to do some good mitigating the damage from all the Russian missiles that have been flying into the Ukraine. While the Prime Minister of the Netherlands was there, he discussed with Biden a very small product with global implication. That product is computer chips. The world is in the middle of a battle over computer chips. They're required for cell phones, computers, planes, cars, pretty much everything that we use that for normal functioning day to day. Computer chips allow us to everything to work. They're the tiny, you know, electronic brains in most equipment, and most of the production of those chips takes place either in South Korea or Taiwan.
Mm.
That's a sketchy situation for a couple of reasons, and we are very dependent on the computer chips. So if either or both of those countries decided to not do business with us, basically we're screwed.
Well, what if China takes over Taiwan, which I have predicted for 2023?
We're screwed. That's the short answer to that. Did I say we're very dependent on computer chips?
Yes, you did.
Everything we have.
Cars are coming without them now, Mark. You have to wait 6 months to get the computer chip when you buy a new car.
We call transportation without computer chips horses.
Yeah. So is the manual choke, was that the, like, 1950s version of a computer chip?
That was two hands around the horse's neck. So anyways, Congress passed a bipartisan bill to produce chips here in America, and we can talk about tech companies and why the tech companies don't do that in the private sector, but that's a different discussion. Last October, the Biden regime limited exports of chips to China. Specifically targeted are the most advanced chips used on high-end products and military application. The Biden regime's regulations went well beyond America's border. What the regime did is to include a provision that says any other company that sells their chips to China cannot sell their chips in America. The Biden regime used their fascist control approach, but they tried expanding control to the global chip industry. Now, the reason why this is important, and it does tie back to the Dutch prime minister, is that the U.S. regulatory control of chip production has been working. It's been having the desired effect. But not everybody exactly is happy about that. There's a chip maker in the Netherlands which is particularly exercised. ASML Holdings makes lithography machines which design and produce computer chips. China is one of ASML's largest clients. Reuters reports that China bought $2.2 billion of these lithography machines from ASML last year. The Dutch prime minister has appreciated the intent of the U.S. Regulation. He did not disagree with that intent, but he observed that ASML is a Dutch company. It operates under Dutch law, and the Dutch law does not prohibit trade with China. So the chip industry is she's claiming that the chip industry is a critical part of the Dutch economy, and besides, the Dutch need that money. Now, why do the Dutch need that money? You might think that, well, the computer chip industry is a terrain where they want to be a world player, so it's the future, yada, yada, yada. But stop putting pressure on us is what they're really saying. Respect our sovereignty. So what they have done is asked the Biden administration not to lecture them about $2.2 billion worth of goods sold to China. Biden says they had a constructive conversation and they would find a diplomatic solution. The thing is, the same prime minister announced last year that the Dutch government is going to be seizing 3,000 farms due to climate change.
There you go.
Agriculture is the Dutch nation's largest industry. It's responsible for $110 billion a year. 3,000 farms equates to about a third of the Dutch agricultural exports. So the Dutch Minister of Nature and Nitrogen Policy, I love that title.
Nature, nitrogen.
She said that the agricultural industry is no longer of importance to the Netherlands. The prime minister is over here whining about $2.2 billion worth of chip manufacturing. She said that the export percentages are not a goal for us. Our goal is emissions reduction and to restore nature.
So wouldn't that mean that the virtual entirety of the Netherlands should really be underwater?
Well, that's about what's going to happen. So the Dutch prime minister has his knickers in a knot about losing a big part of their chip market because he wasn't consulted about the decision with respect to what to do with part of his own economy. Forget that China is the biggest driver of climate change emissions. Forget that his own minister, minister of nature and nitrogen said. On the other hand, his government has no problem whatsoever abandoning $110 billion of agricultural sales to solve a climate change problem, or at least a perceived problem. Apparently, nobody in the Dutch government cares about the people who are not going to eat because they are directing people in their country to get out of the food production business. I don't know, maybe that's a problem for somebody. If smart people in the Netherlands can get to this point, the point of trading a $110 billion existing actual agricultural sales industry for a $2.2 billion lithography machine sales transaction, what comes next? That's the kind of logic that we're seeing being applied right now, here today, in the good old USA. Well, if these climate zealots can reach this type of reasoning here, why isn't this a teachable moment? Why can't we learn from their mistake? What's the lesson that we should be taking away from this? Gentlemen?
I think the lesson is that we're going to take our final break as Common Sense. So for the final time.
Common Sense gets lost.
For the final time, we'll be right back.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manion was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way. Who help others with the help of others. Who bounce back after each setback. Who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Miller, a dentist and a volunteer for Dental Lifeline Network. I learned about DLN shortly after graduating dental school. I wanted to help people who are not able to access the oral health care they need. As a new dentist, I wondered, do I have the skills to provide the care they need? And do I have the time when trying to build a new practice? Even now, after 10 years, I can tell other dentists, yes, you can, and this is a no-brainer. Dental Lifeline Network is a nonprofit that has helped me literally change the lives of people in my community through the Donated Dental Services program. DLN asks dentists to volunteer to see just one of the many patients in need each year. If you're a dentist or know a dentist, please share this important information. It's easy. DLN screens those in need and coordinates the initial appointment. Patients are treated right in your office on your schedule. If you're like me and want to make a real difference in someone's life, DLN makes it possible.
Go to willyouseeone.org to learn more. That's willyouseeone.org.
We're back on Common Sense for the final time. We got 11 minutes left, a little less than 11 minutes left on Newstalk 103.3. The moose will be loose by this time tomorrow, I believe. So,
absolutely.
Mark, to your point about the Dutch farming issue, do you know who's behind that? Bill Gates and the World Extermination Forum. That's their plan for the United States and the world.
You know what? It's all part of reducing. Don't they want to reduce the Earth's population to 500 million? Isn't that sort of the goal of the...
WEF, the World Economic Forum, has
promulgated... Stop agriculture. Yeah, that'll help.
Hey, if you got nothing to eat except for bugs...
There you go.
You know.
Here's what their website says, World Economic Forum. The world... Extermination Forum is committed to helping define the agriculture industry agenda and drive change that boosts well-being and improves the global food system. And the Dutch are a perfect example of how it will be improved.
It's just like what they did. I think it's the Norwegians who get 91% of their electricity from hydro. The most hydroelectric country in the world. The other distinction that they have is all of their new vehicles are now solar. Not solar, but electric vehicles. So they're touting this, the fact that the Norwegians are 100% electric vehicles as a huge big deal because they're in compliance with the zero carbon footprint, right? Well, the problem is not every country in the world has the ability to generate 91% of their electricity from hydroelectric power. But there's some good news this week. It turns out that down in Texas... In fact, Beaumont, Texas, ExxonMobil announced completion of an expansion of a refinery. It was a mid-sized refinery in Beaumont. They added $2 billion expansion. It's the biggest expansion of refining capacity in the continental United States in the last 10 years. We're adding the ability to process 200,000 barrels of fossil fuels per day in Beaumont, Texas.
Until Joe Biden shuts it down when he finds out.
Well, no. The beauty of this is, if you stop and think about it, Biden's having kind of an epiphany. First of all, he decided that he has to bail out Maduro in Venezuela, so he raised... He lifted the restrictions on Venezuela's oil industry, and so Chevron is now pumping oil for Venezuela, okay? So Venezuela is now back in the oil market because their domestic production had collapsed. They didn't have enough money to put the repair parts into their refineries. They were all basically shut down. They didn't have enough. They weren't producing enough for their own domestic needs, let alone export. Well, Joe's helping them out. He's going to – and the reason why he's becoming so benevolent is he wants to take care of Europe. It doesn't have anything to do with us. And it helps Maduro and the communists – in Venezuela, and it helps Europe, does nothing for us. The reason why they lifted the restrictions enough on the Beaumont edition is because it turns out February 5th, the restrictions, the sanctions that the EU put on Russia mean that they are no longer going to buy Russian diesel. So if they don't buy Russian diesel, they need to be able to get an equivalent amount from someplace. Where are you going to get it?
Who needs to get it? Venezuela?
Europe.
Oh, Europe. Yeah.
Europe is going to be without diesel.
Germany's reactivating its coal plants. So, yeah.
I don't think they've got gasification online just yet.
The good news is Florida is outlawing the purchase of land by the Chinese. That's good news.
That is good news.
Should probably outlaw the purchase of land by any foreign entity.
Yeah, I agree.
Make it across the board.
Bill Gates.
China probably owns enough of our debt to just take whatever they want anyways.
Well, Bill Gates and China are buying up the American farmland, and their plan is to bring Holland to the United States.
Yes. Yes, it is. The U.S. government is going to do the same kind of thing that the Dutch are doing, and they're setting up the regulatory structure. It comes right down to the state. They want to take a third of the land mass of the United States and make it completely inaccessible. Think about that. A third of the land mass of the United States.
And on top of everything else, there's a big article in the Epoch Times, the Chinese military, guess what? Built with American help. And I really urge people to go online and take a look at this, because it's just, the article is just unbelievable what we've done to help the Chinese build up their military. It's disgusting.
Well, here's another good one if you like good news. There's good news on the solar front. There's a company called Hanwha Q Cells. Hanwha Q Cells, an American company, by the way.
Sounds Chinese, but...
You think? Well, they've announced that they're going to be the first company to produce solar panels in the United States. Think about that.
Yeah.
We're gonna go all solar and wind, and we don't produce any, but the Chinese are going to take advantage of all of the legislation that was passed in the Infrastructure Act so that we can send profits to the Chinese from selling subsidized solar cells to the American people.
Before you install any of those Chinese solar panels, I suggest you debug them. Because trust me, they will be bugged to listen to everything that's going on in your house.
Absolutely.
All right. We are coming down. We're less than 3 minutes now. I feel like we're doing a countdown or something. You know? The time is slipping away.
Slipping away. Mm. Let's make a song. We're going to sing?
No, we're not going to sing. You can sing tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah.
But so I just, again, this has been fun for the time that I've been here, 16 and a half years. It's really sad that it's going away, but totally understandable. I see Gary just walked in the building. So, Gary, thank you for everything over the years. And thank you, Neil Young, for putting me on the program and keeping me coming all those years that he was around doing the Advocates. Thank you, Mark, for the Common Sense Show. Really appreciate being here as many Saturdays as I could. But I guess no more.
Well, thank you, Betty, for keeping me on.
And for all of you out there for tuning in and listening to Common Sense Saturday mornings, your listenership is greatly appreciated. We hope we've given you a little information, a few things to think about, and maybe act on if we're appropriately successful.
And always try to be a little comic relief, because this can be pretty depressing if you don't. Sometimes you all you can do is laugh at it, to be honest with you. And, you know, it's too bad because I feel like we're needed more than ever, but, you know, the times, they move on, and I'm sure we'll find another way to get the message out.
Absolutely.
To the listeners.
Absolutely. So if you've got a radio station out there that's in need of a talk show, give us a call.
But none.
What's the phone number?
Because that's not going to work anymore.
All right. Well, gentlemen, Charles, thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for participating over the years, the last couple of years. And Paul, for all your efforts, all your